Shine in our hearts, O Master who loves mankind, the pure light of your divine knowledge, and open the eyes of our mind that we may comprehend the proclamations of your Gospels. Welcome to Annunciation with Father David. Father David is the priest of Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church in Decatur, Illinois, where every week people are connected to the ancient wisdom of Orthodox Christianity. Here is Father David.
Let's begin. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And when he said to them, "Draw some out and take it to the master of the feast," and they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Okay, normally I would go to the footnotes in the Orthodox Study Bible, but for this particular pericope, I need to start with verse 11. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. And the reason for this is because this will color the rest of everything that happens in this pericope. It helps interpret what just happened. And so everything that we discuss in the footnotes and from the fathers will be affected by our understanding of verse 11. Because John specifically does not use the word miracle. Instead, he uses the word, we translate it as sign. In Greek, it's semeia, which originally meant a military standard. In other words, you have a battlefield and you have all of these different units, and each unit would have this big cloth symbol on a stick that they would carry with them so that the generals and their enemies would know who was who. It was a giant sign to declare to the world, this is who we are. Okay, so John uses this word, sign, military standard, this is who I am, to describe what Jesus is doing here in Cana of Galilee. In other words, everything that happens at this wedding points to who Christ is. It declares who he is. Now that we understand that, let's move to the footnotes in the Orthodox Study Bible. In the Gospel of John, there are 7 signs. And this is what the Orthodox Study Bible points out. It says the first one is the changing of water into wine. The second one is the curing of the nobleman's son. The third one is healing the paralytic. The fourth one is the feeding of the 5,000. Or the fifth one was walking on water. The sixth one is the opening the eyes of the blind man. And the last of the signs that John witnesses to is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And again, all of these, each one will point to who Christ is. He's declaring to the world. He's holding up his military standard, telling everybody who he is. The setting here, according to the Orthodox Study Bible, is significant because the marriage feast symbolizes the union of God with his bride, Israel. And Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. Galilee is a place where there are a lot of Gentiles. And so this is a declaration that the covenant between God in humanity belongs to all of humanity, not just the Jews, because Christ is blessing by his presence a marriage that happens in the land of the Gentiles. This also takes place on the third day. Now, both in Greek and in Hebrew, the week is described as the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, day of preparation, Sabbath. So third day would be Tuesday. At any rate, the third day sets a resurrectional tone. You know, it hints at the idea that Christ will rise from the dead on the third day. And they also point out that there's parallels between the marriage and the resurrection account in chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. They both involve a woman named Mary, who makes an appeal. Both passages, the disciples are invited to witness the event. And the resurrection account has a striking similarity to Song of Solomon 3, 1 through 5. Again, showing the unity between marriage and our Lord's resurrection. So again, Christ is the bridegroom. The church is his bride. And that marriage is consummated on the cross. And also, by his presence at a marriage, he is declaring that marriage between a man and a woman is honorable and blessed. And this particular passage is read at Orthodox weddings. The second thing that they point out is this idea that this is an example of Mary's gift of intercession. When we talk to Protestants or people who don't want to accept this idea of intercession, that we can go to Mary and the saints and ask for things, ask for them to pray for us, this is a classic example of a scriptural passage that demonstrates this intercessory power and this intercessory importance of the Virgin Mary. Because as Christ points out, it's not time yet for me to be doing these things, but he still does them. He still does them. He listens to her. He honors his mother. Next, it talks about the water pots. It's highlighted that the water pots are made out of stone. And this is from rabbinical teaching, stone does not contract ritual impurity. So therefore, these are specifically created for ritual cleansing. Both the Blessed Philotheolect and John Chrysostom point out that in Palestine, in the area where Galilee is, water is scarce. And so the Jewish peoples always had these giant water pots nearby so that they could have access to water for ritual cleansing at any time. And the Orthodox Study Bible points out that these water pots, because they're six, and not seven representing perfection, they represent the law and the fact that the law is imperfect. It cannot bestow life. This water is changed into wine, symbolizing the old covenant being fulfilled in the new covenant, which is capable of bestowing life. And the overabundance of the gallons of wine illustrates the overflowing grace of Christ that he grants to all. And next, the fathers see the transformation as a prefigurement of the transformation of bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist. As God, as the person through whom all things are made, Christ is perfectly capable of taking something mundane like bread and wine or water and changing them into something else. On to the fathers. John Chrysostom and the Blessed Philotheolect kind of piggybacks on this idea, is that when Christ speaks to Mary that it's not time yet, he's actually saying, I am not yet known to the company, nor are they even aware that the wine has failed. Let them first be sensible of this. I ought not to have been told it from you, for you are my mother, and render the miracle suspicious. In other words, what Christ is waiting for is for a situation where the people come to him and ask for his help, so that it doesn't appear that this is prearranged, that there is any kind of collusion, that there's any way to read this as anything but a miracle, or as John calls it, a sign. And so he tells his mother, this can't come from you. It has to come from the people. And so what she does, and again, this shows the power of her as intercessors, that she then goes and she talks to the servants and have them come and interact with Christ and have them ask for help, so that it becomes this relationship between Christ and the servants rather than something that is prearranged or colluded with amongst his family. And John Chrysostom also points out the fact that this idea of Christ saying that he won't do something and then doing something is not unusual, because in the case of the Canaanite woman, where Christ says it is not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs, he still helps her, still heals her. And he also says that the virgin understood her son, that she knew his refusal to listen to her did not proceed from a want of power. In other words, it's not that he couldn't do it, but rather from a point of humility, that he didn't want this to be interpreted as something that it was not. And again, she cooperates with this by sending the servants to him. John Chrysostom then talks about the way that the sign, the miracle, was presented. See, this is late into the party, and lots of people have been drinking. And at this point, lots of people are drunk. They're inebriated. They can't see straight. They can't understand the world around them. And yet, there needs to be someone there who is sober, someone who can for certain see that the miracle did in fact happen with a sober mind. Now, according to the tradition of the Jews at that time, the master of the feast, the person who is running things, did not drink, so that therefore he was always ready to solve problems or to quickly help somebody or serve somebody. So he had a clear mind and he could act and think rationally and quickly given the situation. And so this is the person that the servants bring the wine, the water turned into wine to. He is the one who tastes it to make sure that it's okay. So therefore, he gets to see the end result of the sign of the miracle, and he is sober so that there's no question as to whether or not this actually happened. The Blessed Theophylact points out the idea that Christ does everything at the time most beneficial for us in our salvation. And again, this is in support of what John Chrysostom is saying, that he waited until the servants came, because that was most beneficial for communicating and for them to be able to see this miracle. They had to fill these giant stone water pots with water in order to understand that, yes, this was in fact water. We ourselves put that water in there. And when that was then turned into wine, they got to see it for themselves. The customs of the people were arranged in such a way that there would be someone who was sober to be able to witness to the reality of this excellent wine that was being served. He also points out the fact that, you know, there's this line from Luke where Luke witnesses to the fact that the Virgin Mary kept all these things in her heart. So therefore, she perceived that there was power in Christ. And so she was knowledgeable enough and courageous enough to intercede for the people at the wedding. And the Blessed Theophylact also builds on this idea of he acts despite the fact that he said it is not yet time. It proves the fact that Christ, as the creator of time, is not the slave of time. He is able to adjust things, move things, react to the intercession of his mother. He also points out the idea, the meaning of Galilee, where Cana is. It means rolling down, so that while we are in Cana of Galilee, this place then is metaphorically tumbling headlong in this world, turning and being turned from one sin to another. So now in this place where all of this uncontrollable sin and chaos is brewing, a wedding happens between God and our soul. And such a marriage can only take place in the presence of Christ, his mother, and his disciples. In other words, the church. And unless a man believes in Christ, who was born from Mary and spoke through the apostles, he cannot be united to God. Now, Theophylact takes a different tack on the symbolism of the water pots. He says that they represent our five senses by which we do wrong in our deeds, in our faculty of reason. It leads us to doctrinal error. Therefore, Christ, the evangelical word, heals our sins and failings in virtue and also in dogma. He does so by changing the wine, water into wine. He changes, therefore, whatever is watery and insipid and thin and unfulfilling. Because wine represents a life that is both astringent and a cause of gladness. Thus, the six water pots are brimming with this good drink. In other words, our senses have been healed, so that we no longer sin in our actions. Our reason has been healed so that we cease to err in our dogmas. And take note also that the six water pots are standing there for the cleansing, the ritual purification of the Jews. And Judah means confession. So may he who confesses his sins be purified in his five senses by which he has previously sinned. He also points out that the fact that these pots are made out of stone represents our physical nature, that we are made of earth and we are vessels that can then contain this richness given to us by God. Theophylact also puts some symbolism onto the wine itself. He says that it signifies the evangelic word and the water, all the ordinance which preceded the gospel. Okay. Again, there's this idea that they're weak and ineffectual, that they don't work. They fell far short from the perfection of God. And the Lord gave laws to various men at various times, to Adam, to Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, to the prophets. And all these laws, compared to the exactness and power of the gospel, are weak and insipid if interpreted literally. But if one plumbs the depths of the Spirit, things hidden are understood, and water turns into wine. What is thin and feckless and limited turns into what is the best. He says, he who probes its meaning according to the Spirit will find the best wine, kept until the end, for Christ the bridegroom. For it was in the last times that the gospel was revealed. And so if we go back to the very beginning and we look at sign and we look at this idea of the military banner of Christ declaring to the world who he is declaring himself to be the Word of God through whom all things were created. He was there when God created man from the earth. He was the one who made the trees and the fruits that hang from the trees. He is the one who put the liquid into the grapes so that they might become juice and then wine. He is the creator through whom all things were made. And so therefore, he has the power to be able to turn water into wine. In other words, he's declaring himself to be God. He is declaring himself to be creator. He is declaring himself to be the bridegroom of the church. And this is all going on as a subtext in this particular pericope. And this is why John uses that word, semeia, sign, military banner, to demonstrate, to show us that God, through Christ, is telling us who he is. And only a couple of questions this week, but as usual, they're good ones. The first is, what is the significance of Mary being with Jesus at this wedding? Now, the fathers of the church argue that Christ has not yet done any miracles. He has waited. That's why he says, it is not yet my time. He has waited until the proper place and time in order to show his power. And so Mary being with Jesus represents that it was Mary that was invited to this wedding, because the family is known to the bridegroom and the bride. So they're the ones that are invited to this wedding feast as a family, not because he's Christ, just because he happens to be the son of Mary. And so she is the reason that he is there. He hasn't shown any signs yet. He's not declared himself to the people to be God yet. And then Mary is not only the reason why he's there, but she is also the intercessor, the person who gets the servants to go to Christ so Christ has everything in place to perform this sign, to, for the first time in the Gospels, declare that he is God through a miracle. Second question, are there other New Testament references of Jesus being with his mother? Well, of course. There's the whole infancy narrative in Luke where the child in his childhood, and you see them going as a family to Egypt in order to escape Herod, and you see them traveling to Jerusalem, and Christ as a child then, you know, ditching his parents and going to preach in his father's house, and they have to, you know, come back to Jerusalem to go get him. We see, of course, Mary at the cross. And unlike so many of the disciples who ran and hid, she bravely stood there at the foot of the cross up at her son and endured as a mother the torture and the murder of her own child. So yes, there are other places within Scripture where we see Mary with Jesus. I'll wrap this up with the latter half of verse 11, which says, he manifested his glory and his disciples believed in him. Again, the sign is a signal, is a declaration that he is God. And therefore, as God, he is continuously pouring forth glory. This glory is, this power is what turned the water into wine. And it is this glory that now resides within his human self. He is now in process of sanctifying human nature. He sanctifies the wedding by his presence and his pouring forth of his glory. He begins to sanctify all of these aspects of our mundane life. And in turn, his disciples believed in him because of this sign, because of the showing of his glory. And this same glory is then given to us through the descent of the Holy Spirit and through the partaking of the body and blood of Christ. And we, as Orthodox Christians, are then called to continue this work of sanctification. We are called to sanctify every aspect of our lives through prayer, through dedicating objects and events to God. This is why we do things like blessing grapes, like blessing eggs and meats, by blessing our homes, by blessing our vehicles, by blessing our animals. We are sanctifying things. We are allowing that very same glory that turned the water into wine to sanctify every aspect of our lives.